Blog Talk Radio.
Whoa.
Father, we thank you, oh God. This is a long day. Hallelujah, Jesus. You continue to pray. Continue to pray for me. Some days are great. Some days are better than some. All days are good as the Lord. Hallelujah. But sometimes I'm getting so much attacks in my body, but I trust the Lord. The pastor said on Sunday, you are, somebody's playing with the phone or something. I'm getting a beep inside my thing. I can't find my air Bluetooth here. I want to make a, glory to God. The earth is the Lord in the fullness thereof. We just bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Glory. We give him honor. I tell you that Minister Jones last night was a very, it was a testing night, the way my faith was. I tell you, sometimes it comes, my healing is done, it's really, but I got this one pain that's in my left arm that they can't figure where it's coming from, where, why is it coming? It don't come all the time, but when it comes, I tell you, I would not lie to you, I want to cut off my left arm and just be comfortable with one arm. You know, but the Lord is working it out. I believe that it's going to get better. And when I see the doctor on week after next, I think on the 4th of it's going to be okay. I had dreams last night, and I don't know. I never looked, dream too much about dead people, so but an associate that I had when I was in the world, his wife was a Christian. I mean, a sold-out woman. Have you ever seen a sold-out person? Someone worked for the government in some branch of the government at Pentagon for all her life. And this man, he said, when she was at work, crazy stuff, but I never did that stuff. Women in the house, because she was a cocaine addict. And she never gave up on her husband. She could have had any man in the world she wanted. Money had a big, beautiful house, you know, with a super jacuzzi on the first floor. I had like a bathroom. You know, just nice. But last night, for some reason, bothers me. I can't tell you. I can't comprehend it. I dreamt about them last night, both he and his wife. And I went to their house. For some reason, I went to their house. Maybe somebody out there that know about dreaming about dead people could tell me what's the meaning to this dream. And I'm going to give you a word. I'm going to teach a word on here today from the book of Romans, chapter 15. I want to give you more, but my body didn't allow me to study. And sometimes that would happen, you know. I was so sore and so much pain. And I had to get up out of trying to go to sleep. The pain wouldn't let me go to sleep, so I had to get up and take two nighttime NyQuil. And they take a long time to kick in. But when they kick in, it's good because you go out, you don't feel anything. And guess when I wanted to get up, I couldn't get up. I was still in that sleep mode. But I dreamt about these two people, and I kept wondering why. So I began to have a talk with the Lord. You know, this is when my mother used to say, when she was alive, she used to say, son, don't matter what it is, just take it to the Lord in prayer. Just take it to the Lord in prayer. So I began to talk to the Lord about it. And I said, Lord, I don't understand why the reason that I'm dreaming about dead people, I should be dreaming about living people. You know, and this guy used to, I could say, I allow him to take advantage of me because I made a lot of money. And if you know about plumbing, heating, air conditioning, this is big money. So I used to make a lot of money. So they knew that I could always come up with money. Even if I didn't have it on me, somebody would call and I go to make money right away. And we could always keep the pipe smoking. So he didn't really care for me that much, you know. But you learn, you know that time, you know times when you come to Christ and your senses have been enlightened, who really care for you and who don't care for you. Because God showed you that they really wasn't friends, they were associates. And I learned all that stuff after come to know the Lord. But I don't understand the dream, and it puzzles me because I told the Lord, I said, if I'm dying, just take me on. Don't let me putt around it. Just take me on. You know, so my honey says, stop talking like that. I said, oh, well, because I don't understand the dream. And if God is trying to tell me something, I don't think you got to tell me something to bring me home. But today we want to talk, if we get a chance, to talk to you for a little bit because we are starting late. Living to please others and that you please Jesus. In that, living to please others, and in that, while you're living to please others, you please Jesus, you please the Savior. You know, a lot of times we find ourselves, we are trying to do so much to please God. We want to please God. Oh, I just want to please God. I just want God to know I love him. But we don't love the people around us. We don't care for the people around us. And I've done that many times because some people have offended me so much, I just shut them out of my life. I just shut them completely out of my life. I don't hate them, but I don't want to have anything to do with them, you know. And God began to talk to me on Saturday while the preacher was preaching, and the Lord began to talk to me about this loving others and taking care of others, regardless of what the situation is. I don't know how this microphone sound because I couldn't find the other one, but I just going to tell somebody here, if the song don't sound right, just let me know. I can take a minute and find another Bluetooth. Yeah, here it is. There it is. I can put this other Bluetooth up. But he began to talk to me about taking care of others. And he said to me, don't be like the Levi and the priest. And I said, what are you talking? He said, well, because, you know, they were so pious and so holy and so mighty that they couldn't even take care of the man that needed help from him. You see, God is not coming down from heaven to have the poor man. He's not coming down from heaven to help the man that is sick. He is going to put somebody in their position. Healing going to come from the throne room, but when it comes to physical stuff and mental stuff, he's going to use one of us. He's going to use one of his ambassadors here in the earth realm to go forth and take care of that person. You may have to go out of your way to pick somebody up in your car and take them to the emergency room. God is not taking them to the emergency room. He's not driving no Cadillac. He's not driving no Bentley. But he's going to tell you with your little Volkswagen, just go. You pick him up. You take him there. And a lot of times what I hear the people saying now, well, I'm too afraid to do anything. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And we find, oh, I don't want to do that because the people are too evil. They're full of envy. They're full of malice. And I'm not going to take a chance because I might lose my life. But the life that you try to save is the life that you're going to lose. You see, and they're doing that. Now, this is what the Levi and the priest did. They cross over to the other side. You know, they didn't want to get involved with that man on the street that needed to see the hand of God, needed to be helped, you know. And this is what God is saying to me. He was saying to me, I don't know about you all, but I see this. And the Lord says, you're doing a lot, but you got to do more. You're doing a lot, and you have to do more. Hallelujah. Yesterday, the Lord began to use me in such a prophetic way. And all I could say, it's not me. It's God. God allowed me to see things in the spirit realm that is so mighty and so awesome that he was calling out things that are going on in people's lives that I never met before. And one lady just fell out on the floor. I ain't even touch her. All I was doing is saying what the Lord said. And her husband put his jacket over her. I was just saying what God said. You know, I wasn't asking for no money to say. You know, a lot of people say, well, give me this and give me that, and I'll give you a prophetic word. No, that's a prophet lying. God don't work like that. God's words don't is not for sale. And when the time comes for prophecy, you can't get up one day and say, well, let me just prophesy over your life. You're a prophet lying. You're a prophet lying. Oh. Let me give you a prophecy. No, when prophecy comes, when you're teaching, when you're preaching, when you're praying, if God wants to release the prophetic word will come. You can't say, well, you got a prophecy for me today? They're looking for a witch doctor. They're looking for a warlock, you know? So he said to me, let me get my computer up, and let's go to Romans chapter 15. Let's go over there. This is where we want to talk about, where we want to minister from today. Okay? I haven't really ministered from this book before. So I'm going in here as soon as I get this computer up here. Glory to God. We're talking today about living to please others. In that, you please Jesus. Let me explain that to you, because when he gave it to me, I didn't understand it myself. And he said that when we please others, we please him. We please him. And as I said before, we work real hard to please God. Say, oh, I just want to live. I just want to wear my robe. I want to have the priest ring on. I want to have the apostolic ring on, the pastor ring on. So I want to look God's part to do. So I'll be doing what God called me to do. And all God says, look. Take care of the poor. Take care of the widows. Take care of the fatherless. And we say to this, it was my sanity. Glory to Father. He says to us, take care of the fatherless. Take care of the widows, the orphans. He said, help them. And in that, you will be pleasing me. But we said, no. Why can't they get a job? Why can't they go to God and say, no, I'll give you a job. I'm supplying for you so you can supply for them. We find an excuse on how not to have what to do, what God calls to do. No, we want the microphone, Lord. I just want the microphone because I want to preach. That's what I want to do, Lord. I want to preach the word. God said, when you're helping them out there that can't help themselves, you're preaching the word. Do you know that? You're preaching the word. People see Jesus operating in the natural. Romans chapter 15, verse 1 says, We who are strong in our own conviction and of robust faith ought to bear with the feelings and the frailties and the tender scruples of the weak. We ought to have carried the doubts and scrums of others and not to please ourselves. See? Well, Paul was looking at this. Paul was seeing the people weak, and he was seeing the people in need. And Paul was looking beyond their faults and seeing their need. He wasn't trying to justify or analyze or do anything concerning what needed to be done. He saw the people in need. And he, full of faith, God's faith, stepped out to help them, to do what is needed. And as I said, he wasn't like the Levi and the priest. They saw the man, they look upon him and cross over to the other side. Some of us do it. You may not switch to the other side, but that's what you do when you don't help them. Let each of us make it a practice to please, make happy his neighbor for his good and for his true welfare, to edify him, to strengthen him, and build him up spiritually. It's so important. We got to see the big picture. The big picture is in Christ Jesus. Where we begin to step out our own comfort zone. See, this is something we're not just doing it on Sunday morning, so the pastor can see, the bishop can see, the prophet, the prophetess, the evangelist, all of them can see. We're not doing it on Wednesday night on Bible study or Saturday for the Sabbath. This is something that we're living. This is our life. God has ordained us to help, to be his hands, be his feet, be his eyes, his mouthpiece in the earth realm. So when we speak love. When we speak peace. I began to minister to a lady yesterday. She got a really melodious voice. And I began to talk to her about her gifts. And the Lord said to tell her about her family. I don't know the woman from Adam or Eve. And I begin to tell her about her gift, how God wants her or needs her to use her gift. And as she used her gift to worship God, how her family, I told her, look, you've been praying for your family to be saved. You've been praying for your family to come out of darkness into light. And the woman busts out crying. I never seen it before. She just crying, can't stop crying. Weeping. And Lord says, tell her that when she begin to worship me, her children, her kinfolk will be set free. She's crying out, Lord, save my children, save my niece, my nephew, my sister, my brother. She's crying out. And all God want her to do is spend time and worship him. He going to do the rest of the work. He know what you need. Before we open our mouth, God already know what we need. He said we got to practice this thing. We got to practice taking care of your neighbor. Listen, you want to help your neighbor. Your neighbor is anybody that you meet along the way. Not just the person that live on the right side of you or the left side. But we got to practice this. I got a neighbor here. He lives about three or four houses down. And I worked in his house before. Went in there and installed a garbage disposal for him. I went in at his house and I snake out the kitchen drain one time. And then another time I had to go back and install a new garbage disposal for him. This guy been calling me all the time, nonstop. And I'm too busy trying to take care of myself, you know. And then I'm laying on the bed. The Lord says, why don't you call your neighbor? And just let him know that you appreciate his concern about your health. And then he was just shut up. You know what I'm saying? He was just close. All of a sudden, I mean, you could hear like his heart was weeping. I just told him, I said, man, I really appreciate you, your concern. I said, but I've been, you know, going to the doctor here, going to the doctor there, doing this and doing that. But I really appreciate it. That's neighborly love. He called all the time. We don't have time to check on people, but we say we love them. And most you say, oh, how much I love the Lord. You can't check on your brother or your sister. You send somebody a text message. People don't talk too much now. They text and the email and all that kind of stuff. People give you, send you an email. They send you a text message when they want something from you. But they can't text you to see how you feel. Apostle, I just got a call. What I sent a text to, I sent a text to Pastor Joyce. If I hear that, if I know, even I don't have to know he's sick, I said, I just wanna touch base with him from time to time. Why? Because that's neighborly love. He said here, Paul is speaking to us. Let's look at, he says, let's verse 3 says, and then we can go to Psalm 69. And we're coming back here. We're not leaving this chapter. We're going to work this out to the end, and then we're going to see what the Lord says. He says, for Christ did not please himself. Oh, do you hear that? The author and finisher of our faith did not please himself. We as this minute pastors and leaders and teachers and deacons and elders and ushers, we just want to look the part, please ourselves. But our Messiah, our Commander-in-Chief, our Lord and our Savior, our soon-coming King, did not please himself. He gave no thought to his own interests. But, as it is written, the reproach and abuses of those who reproach and abuse you fell on him. It fell on him. He took on all the curse and all the stuff that we were dealing with. He took on. He didn't question. Only one time in the garden, he said to the Father, is it possible for me to take this cup? If it's not possible, take it from me. But then he catch himself and see that the reason why he came to the earth, why he leave his throne in glory and came into time, was to defeat the enemy. Hallelujah. He became the seed of God in the earth realm so that God can harvest many, many souls. God planted him in the earth. So nevertheless, your will be done. So he didn't come to himself. Did not. Why? So, well, nah, I am not doing that. Let him find a way for himself. No, he said, I'm going to do. Nevertheless, thy will. Psalm 69 and verse 9, and then we're going back to Romans 15. For the zeal of thine house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee has fallen upon me. You hear that? Hallelujah, glory to God. How much do you love the Lord? And the people are reproaching you, they're coming against you. But did you know it's falling on? It's falling on him. It's falling on him. God has taken on all that came against us on the cross, and even right now, while we're going through, he's feeling our sorrows and our pains. Hallelujah, glory to God. So we have to take the initiative to serve him with everything that's within us. I'm not concerned on how many people come or how many people go. I'm serving him. If one person received the gift of salvation, if one person makes the decision, yeah, I'm turning from my way of life and I'm going to turn to Christ. I'm going to allow the Lord Jesus to shape my life, bend me and mold me, break me, bend me and mold me. If one person do that, we know the angels will rejoice. He said, I told you, in the Bible, don't talk about the angels rejoicing of your sounds, of your sermon, how well you prophesy or prophesy. But the Bible said that the angels rejoice at one person who repents and give their life to Christ. One sinner who gets saved, the angels rejoice. So we know it should be about souls and not about how good we can preach. And we contending with the other preacher. I know I can preach better than Brother John. I know I can preach better than Brother. I don't care how well you preach. Preach me underneath the table. But are you winning souls? Are you going after souls? Oh, Jesus, help us. He says, for whatever was thus written in former days was written for our instruction, that by our steadfast and patience, endurance, and encouragement drawn from the scriptures, we might hold fast to and cherish hope. See, we look and we see the word of God that has been put down by this host of preachers and prophets and prophets from, oh, we have a hope. We can cherish the same leading of the gospel from Genesis to Revelation, that if we live it, we'll make it in. Somebody will be drawn in. This is why Jesus said so plain. He said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. This is all we should be. This is how this should be our mental focus. I want somebody to see and hear my life. See, because my life, all life speaks. It's like a megaphone. You know that thing you hold in your hand and you speak to it and it sounds out. It's called a megaphone, not the microphone. The megaphone. It's sending out a large sound. And the sound is open all over the earth. Where you walk, this sound is spread. It spreads forth. And people can hear it. Folks say, well, I didn't say anything. But somebody comes and says, man, aren't you a man of God? Your life is speaking. Unless you shut it down. And you decide to go in another path. One lady would say, she says, you know, I've tried so many things, and I find myself going another way. She said, Apostle, I find myself going another way. But it wasn't until I decided to turn back. See, because God did not give up on me. I'd give up on him. I went back doing my own thing. But God was still drawing. See, God never stopped drawing. Just like the devil never stopped drawing. He wants to still get me back in the whorehouse, in the crack house. But God's draw is much stronger. God's draw upon our lives is much stronger than the draw devil on our lives. Devil don't stop. Devil knew he had me working hard. He had us working hard for him. He's not going to stop. But thank God for Jesus. Jesus never gives up on us. He said, now may the God who gives the power and patience, endurance, steadfastness, and who supplies encouragement, grant you in such mutual harmony and such full sympathy with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus. See, we got to see where we live in this life. With each other. When we live in agreement with each other and have sympathy for one another, it glorifies God. It glorifies Jesus Christ when we live that way. I give you a lot of scriptures as I'm going. We glorify him. This is our and ought to be our main objective, to glorify God. Your lifestyle, the words that come out of your mouth ought to bring glory to his name. Don't ever forget that you belong to him. You no longer belong to yourself. He says, excuse me, I'm reading out of the NLT. No, this is the Amplifier. Sorry. I have so many Bibles in my computer, so I have to remember which one I pull up. He says, together you anonymously with united heart and one voice, praise and glorify the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. When we come together sympathetically, we glorify him. See, because our mind is not on each other. Our mind is on him. See, when, oh God, I hold you here, Holy Spirit. When we are, when we have a sympathetic mind, love, compassion, a mind of compassion, patience, endurance, and we have this love for each other, God gets glory. Do you understand that? Because we're no longer thinking about, we're no longer thinking about ourselves. Self is under the bucket. We're no longer talking about self. Somebody's talking in the background. Please mute your microphone because we're recording. And when we put out the recording, we need the people that are listening, hearing back in India and Africa and China and Japan and all over the world that download this by the satellite system, sending the word everywhere that they hear it clear, knowing that I have an accent. So that makes it a little hard. So please don't let your microphone go off. Put it on mute. I don't mute anybody here because I like everybody to have an opportunity to say hallelujah or praise the Lord. You know, I know I go on lines and the people say, your line is muted. I won't mute anybody. But I want you to use, I want you all to use common sense and be in order. So here Paul is talking from Romans chapter 15. And the message, the title that God gave me Saturday, was very uncommon. Because he says, living to please others in that you please Jesus. No, a lot of times, no, I want to please God. I love God. But you don't please your neighbor, and you don't love your neighbor. And he said it very clearly. How can you love someone that you've never seen and don't love somebody that you see every day? Very clearly, you're a liar. Here, what he says to us, as he speaks to us through this word. Verse 7, welcome and receive to your hearts one another. Then, even as Christ has welcomed and received you for the whole, for the glory of God. See, we love on each other because we know that when we love on each other, God gets glory. How you have some preachers can't even sit next to each other? They're in the same congregation, in the same body of believers. I know I was in a church like that. And I had one person say, oh, I can't stand her. She couldn't get along. They just didn't like Evangelist Baxter. She's brown, Evangelist Brown now. Right? What make her didn't like Baxter? Brown. She's brown. But at the time, her name, last name was Baxter, her last marriage name. Her new marriage name is Brown. And this evangelist, they're both evangelists in the same body of believers. And the reason why she was disturbed with Baxter, because Baxter, when she came to church, she had a little shopping bag. I call it a shopping bag. It looked like a shopping bag. And in that bag, she would have some ballerinas, dancing shoes. And the moment she gets in the sanctuary, she goes in the pew, she kicks off her, you call them pumps or the high heel shoe pumps or something. She kicks them off, and she puts on the ballerina shoes. And she is at the front of the altar, dancing for the Lord, praising God. And this evangelist was disturbing her spirit. Something was wrong with her spirit that she became envious at her sister praising the Lord. Man, if you praise the Lord, I'm glad you pray. As long as you're not twerking and all that kind of stuff and bumping and all that stuff and line dancing. But if you dance in the Holy Ghost dance for the Lord, I mean, a dance that makes sense, but they whining and grinding and all that stuff and splitting and all that kind of stuff. You know, erotic, seductive dance they're doing now in the church. But listen to me. I'm not in agreement with that stuff. People close today, too tight, too tight. And Paul talks about that. You distract the pastor, the leader, the apostle, whoever, the prophet, the evangelist, you distract them with your tight clothes because all they're doing is looking at your undergarments through your clothes. So we have to be in agreement and we have to help each other
to get on right standing with God. Sometimes you have to correct your brother or sister. Man, I said, brother, I just want to tell you, your pants really is too tight as going to the house of the Lord. Sister, I love you. I love you with the love of Christ. And I wouldn't say anything to hurt you. But your dress is too tight. I could see your undergarments through your clothes. Well, they might get mad at you. But at least you did what you're supposed to do as a sister or brother. You're helping them to grow. Some people are going to get mad. They might not talk to you for a couple of Sundays. But when they come to reality, come to their senses, they're going to realize that you were giving them some growth. First, it said, I tell you that Christ, the Messiah, became a servant and a minister to the circumcised, the Jews. And in order to show God's truthfulness and honesty by confirming, verifying the promise given to our fathers. Christ become a servant. If Christ become a servant, can you serve? Are you willing to serve? Or you want people to serve you? You're the big apostle, the big bishop. You're the big minister. Put yourself on a pedestal. Pedestal, sometimes, the leg will just kick out on you. You know, Eli was sitting back on a stool, and my God, when he heard that his sons would kill, and he was a fat man, according to the Bible, he fell back and broke his neck. He fell back and broke his neck. People of God, we are called to help one another, and we are called to help those that can't help themselves. Don't only give to those that can return a gift to you, but give to those that are in need. In need. We have given to so many people. They never even send a postcard. But it doesn't matter. We get a postcard from heaven every morning. When he come on by with his spirit and wake us up, give God glory for that. You say, well, I'm not giving to them because they don't ever give me nothing. No, 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 no. Here, let's look at Psalm 18. Psalm 18 and verse 49. This psalm the Lord gave to me years ago when crack cocaine was taking me to the grave. I told somebody, they said, well, you know, I love Psalm 18. It's also in the book of Samuel 122, I think it is, somewhere there. And it says Samuel 2, chapter 22. It's in there. Same word. It's the same exact word, Psalm 18 and 2 Samuel chapter 22. And the Lord gave me this. It's such a powerful psalm. It makes demons tremble, this psalm. All they're trying to conjure upon you and mix up their potions and lotions and all this stuff to keep you in bondage, coming out the dark forces. This psalm here sent them right back to him. And here this is what David says. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathens, and sing praises unto thy name. This is in verse 50. What do I do? Verse 50 says, great deliverance giveth thee to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. God is not only protecting us, but he's going to protect us, our seeds. Hallelujah. When you use this psalm, you can see all the difference. When you study that psalm in your own time, or 2 Samuel chapter 22, and you will see how David cried out to the Lord, and he brought all his concerns to the Lord, and how the Lord is the protector. Hallelujah, glory to God. The enemy don't have the power to stop you from doing or going where God is taking you. You have to trust God. Hallelujah, glory to God. Glory to God. He says here, oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. And also, in order that the Gentile nations might glorify God for his mercy, not covenanted to them, as it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. Now, David is releasing this thing that it is so powerful. This covenant was what? Not to the Gentiles. It was to the Jews. They had the circumcision. But now God is using Jesus, that we're not coming in with the circumcision of the flesh, but we're coming in with the circumcision of the heart. Do you understand what I'm saying to you today? So the Gentiles received this thing because of the mercy, hallelujah, unmerited favor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Again, it is said, rejoice, exalt, O Gentiles, along with his own people, in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 43. Along with God's people, we can glorify God. Hallelujah. We were not included then, but we're included now. Hallelujah. It was for the Jews who wouldn't take it up. They rejected it. So it come to us. We are able to rejoice. Now we're the ones that rejoice. Deuteronomy 32 and 43 says, listen, rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servant. I will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. Glory to God. Don't let anybody, stop you or hinder you from glorifying God. Don't let the pain in your body, the lack of finances, oh God, even the lack of relationship, stop you from glorifying God. Some people say, well, I can't praise him. I don't have a wife. I don't have a husband. Oh, my children acting up. I can't praise God. I just got to worry about it. No, praise him. That's what I told a lady yesterday in the church. So just praise him. No matter your son is acting up, your daughter's acting up, just praise him. Praise him. Because he can work up for you where you can't work up for yourself. Your money can't get. I don't care how much money you give to the church. Church can't do it for you. But he can. Don't stop giving to the church, though. I want you to give to the church. Give to ministry. But I also want you to go down on your knees and begin to thank God. Praise God. Praise God for solving the problem in advance. Don't wait till the problem is solved. While you're waiting for the problem to be solved, praise him. Praise him. Oh, my God, thank you for making a way for me when there was no way. Lord, I thank you for opening doors for me when all the doors before me was closed. God, thank you for closing some doors that needed to be closed, because I keep going back through them. But, Lord, I thank you for closing them. You got to talk to them. Listen, listen, listen. Again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the people praise him. Psalm 117 and 1. And further, Isaiah says, there shall be a sprout from the root of Jesse. He who raises to rule over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope. Isaiah chapter 1, chapter 11 and 1. Isaiah, Revelation chapter 5 and 5. Revelation 22 and 6. Talking about Jesus. You understand that he comes to rule and reign. And he come to deliver. He come to set free. He come to heal, to raise the dead, to open blind eyes and unstop deaf ears. He come to cause the crippled to walk, the dumb to talk. Do you understand? He's come to do all this. But we have to show him how much we love him by loving one another. Show him. Don't tell him. Show him. What about say you can give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day. Teach him how to fish and he'll live for a lifetime. Hallelujah. Well, show him. Let God see that we're loving on each other unconditionally. You got people that can't come to this land because they has lost their love. I can't stop loving you because you don't love me. Because if I stop loving you because you don't love me, I mean, I never loved you. to start with in the first place. So I can't fellowship with you, but I'm seeking God. Hey, glory to God. The Levite went and saw the man on the side of the street. Cross over to the other side. Cross over to the other side. We cross over to the other side. A lot of us in the natural, because we don't have the time to love on each other. We don't have the time to care for each other because we are focusing on ourselves. But it's not about us. It's about him. What does he need done? What does he need done? Us to allow the world to see him in us. He's the light that's shining from the inside out. Hallelujah. It's shining from the inside out. Don't smut out the light. You know, and they have this thing they call it a candle snuffer. And they have them in the church. And the Catholic had them more. But we used to have them back in the Pentecostal church and the Apostolic church back in the country, because we didn't have electric light and all that stuff. And we had candles. And after the service, we would go through and we would put the, how does this candle snuffer, you know, have it has a light, long stem, and have like a little cup at the end. And you would put it over the candle, and it would snuff out the candle. Candle would go out. But after that, a lot of smoke would come up. A lot of smoke would come up into the atmosphere. What happens is with us, we snuff out candles. The candle represents the light of God that's in us, and all that's coming out now is smoke. Smoke is coming out because the light is going out. And I'm telling you today that we got to let the light come up and begin to shine. We need to let it shine. He says, may the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope. The joy. See right here what he says, may the God of your hope. And as I look at that, I say, you have to think about, who are you making the God? Who are you making the God of your hope? Because if it's not Jesus Christ, guess what happens? You're not going to begin to bubble. You're not going to have this excitement that this verse is saying. So your God has to be the sovereign Lord, the God of heaven and earth. Because remember, Satan is the God of this world. And he's also the deceiver of mankind. He started in the Garden of Eden. And he's still deceiving mankind today. You got people now walking around with crosses, now upside down. Tattooed on their body, on their forehead, on their cheek, on their arms. You got them have Jesus hang upside down or a statue, which is they call Jesus not on any kind of cross right now. But they're doing that to mock our Savior. So you have to make sure that you have the right God. I always say, people say, I'm a believer. I believe in God. And I ask, who God do you believe? I want them to say Jesus. I want to hear them say Jesus, Yeshua, Yahweh, El Shaddai, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Tiskidu, the great I am. I want to hear them say that out their mouth. Otherwise, I believe they're talking about the devil. Because he is the God of this world. Personally, I am satisfied about you, my brethren, that you yourselves are rich in goodness, amply filled with all spiritual knowledge and competent to admonish and counsel and instruct one another also. See, we have to have it. Each of us has to be filled with it. We have to be so filled that we can instruct each other. I don't have it all, and you don't have it all. But what little we have, we can share with each other. You let me get some of yours, I let you get some of mine. And we just put it together so we can help each other. This is what Paul is saying. We are equipped with so much that we can help each other. We've been studying. We've been spending time in the Word. We're not just getting in the house after work and going on the TV and watching all these shows. Those people have their money. They have their big homes. See, they're dying now. All this witchcraft and stuff they've been doing in Hollywood is now backfiring on them. They're dying young over there now. I saw on YouTube the other night, they say that this big problem going on in Hollywood, because all this stuff they're doing with the Illuminati and all these sacrifices they made to get power is now backfiring on them. The only power you want is the power that God rests upon you at the time that you need it. When you need it, when you're preaching, when you're teaching, when you're evangelizing, he released the power upon your life. So people will be drawn to him. They say that Saudi Arabia planning an attack to the United States. The same people that, not the same, not but, this, but Saudi Arabia, the people that hijacked those planes in 9/11 came out of Saudi Arabia. And now this Saudi Arabia is planning, making plans to attack on this soil. I saw it read it the other night. So you have to pay attention. If you see anything that look out of place, call up somebody. Tell somebody. Don't just walk around. You see somebody set something down, a can down, a canister down, call somebody. Especially if you're in a place that crowded, the mall, supermarket. You know, you tell somebody, because some stuff going to go off soon. And everybody said, the CIA said so. It came out of the Pentagon that Saudi Arabia is planning, making plans. And they said that the plans is real to attack on this soil. Not over there, in this soil. You have to watch people. Watch what they're doing. You at the airport, strange things going on. Watch and talk. We allow everybody to come in over the border. And we say, well, they're coming looking for a better life. Well, they can come in through with an airport. Can't they come in through an airplane or through the boat, get a ticket and fly here or come here by boat and come in the right way? But no, you got everybody coming in. And say, well, it's okay. It's being well because people are looking for a place. But you know, you got top gangsters that are coming in here. Now they're fighting the police. They're fighting the people that to protect. And oh my God, listen, look. We gotta get serious. Pay attention to your surroundings. Hallelujah. He says, still some points I have written to you to more boldly and unreservedly by way of reminder. I have done so because of the grace, the unmerited favor bestowed on me by God. See, Paul is sending also a correction. Because you are filled with unmerited favor, that don't mean you're going to just sit down on your unmerited favor. You're not going to sit down on the gift. Sometimes every chance that you get to correct somebody, you ought to, don't let it go without correction. Because, you know, I said, without correction, there's no growth. You might cause somebody to die because you wouldn't correct them. They believe what they're doing is right, but it's wrong. And if you don't correct them, you know better. That's why there are many members in the body, but one body. Everybody, we don't know it all. But when we put it together, it comes out in a way that makes sense to God. And it helps his people. It helps the body. Paul said he had this thing was bestowed upon him. And this is why he wrote to them in a way to keep their faith focusing on the things of God. Hallelujah. And he said, in making me a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. I act in the priestly service of the gospel, the good news of God, in order that the sacrificial offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable to God, consecrated and made holy by the Holy Spirit. Everything that we give to God needs to be sanctified. To be sanctified. You don't throw things at God. Sometimes I watch people, they come to the altar and just throw the money on the altar. Do you know how out of order that is? They just throw it. You don't throw stuff at God. You lay the money on the altar. Lay it on the altar. Come right up on the altar, to the altar and lay it down. Don't just throw it down. Throw it down. And watch them. That's also so much out of order. Don't throw stuff on God. He says, Paul said he had made a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And he says, consecrated and make holy by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then I have legitimate reason to glory, exult in my work for God. In what? Through Christ Jesus, I have accomplished concerning the things of God. See, where you are doing what God said to do, it gets you excited. Hallelujah. Because you're doing things honestly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is not, he said, legitimate. See, it's not counterfeit. Paul is doing this thing in a way that makes sense to man and God. He said, for of course, I will not venture, presume to speak thus of any work except what Christ has actually done through me as an instrument in his hands to win obedience from the Gentiles by word and deed. We got to be led by the Spirit. Allow God to give you what you need to say. Allow God to lead you where you need to go. Then you can glory. Glory, because glory in the work, because it's God working through you, through us. Hallelujah. God working through us. Hallelujah. By his word and his actions. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Even as my preaching had been accompanied with the power and signs and wonders, and all of it by the power of the Holy Spirit. The result is that starting from Jerusalem and as far wrong as Alexandrium, this funny word, I have fully preached the gospel, fully executing, accomplishing, carrying out to the full the good news of Christ the Messiah in its entirety. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Paul said that his preaching and his teaching was with signs and wonders. Hallelujah. By the Holy Spirit. See, he gives the power back to God. He doesn't hold on to what belongs to God. We are teaching and preaching because God has given us the strength to do such. Hallelujah. I tell you this every time it happens. I don't get up here to make you feel that I got it all. No. Last night I had so much pain in my body. So much pain. But I'm here today because of the power of the Holy Ghost. I could lay in the bed today and take a nitroglycerin. Pain gone. And I'd be comfortable. But today I got up with no pain this morning. But tonight the pain will come back after I eat supper. Because it happened as soon as I finished eating supper. It just happened. Well, we're waiting on the doctor right now to see what they're doing. But just keep me in prayer. I'm not giving up. Don't care what the devil do. Listen, he wanted to take me out. This is why he tried to bring doubt in my mind, the apostle, and fear. And I told him, a red devil, I'm not afraid of dying. Last night I dreamed about these associates of mine that died. And I'm seeing this husband and his wife in the house. Actually, I went to the house in my dream. And the guy had so many dogs. He always had one little dog, but a little poodle he had, you know, one that you hold in your arm. But this time he had a lot of dogs, and big dogs and small dogs, a lot of dogs. And in the dream, one dog just rushed from where he was, because I could see him through the glass. And when he see me, he ran down through the car door of the house and come out of the door, a door that was open. And this giant dog looked like a sheepdog, man, that just wanted to eat me alive. And I keep beating him with a big stick. He wanted to eat me alive. And I was saying to myself, why am I having this dream of these people that's dead? You know? Maybe somebody going to die that's close to me. But I pray not. I pray not, because I don't want to travel because of death. Paul says, thus my ambition has been to preach the gospel, not where Christ's name has already been known, lest I build on another man's foundation. Paul says, I don't want to go with Christ's name where they're already preaching Christ. I want to go somewhere where they don't know about Christ yet. You know, I want to go somewhere where they have not experienced the power of the Holy Ghost yet. Hallelujah. We want to come on in behind some preacher and build on his foundation. No, let me go where nobody been yet. They haven't been there yet. But I want to go there and preach and teach. Hallelujah. He said, but instead, I would act on the principle. As it is written, they shall see who have never been told, and they shall understand who have never heard. Hallelujah. Isaiah 52 and 15. See, we're going places where we can deliver, declare and decree Jesus is Lord, the only true and living Messiah, the one who died and rise again. Hallelujah. And Paul said, but since I have no further opportunity to work in these regions, and since I have longed for enough years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing through Rome as I go on my intended trip to Spain, and to be aided on my journey there by you. After I have enjoyed your company for a little while. For the present, however, I am going to Jerusalem to bring aid, relief for the saints, God's people there. Paul did not go to them just taking the word, but he brought them food, substances, natural substances. Paul had a good teacher, the Holy Spirit, Jesus. Jesus feed the 5,000. He didn't only give them the word. He didn't only evangelize them, but he gave them natural food. This is why we got to give. The Lord bless me so I can be a blessing. We pray for people blessing, but we don't pray to God to bless us so we can be a blessing. Hallelujah. That's why I told him at nighttime. I said, Lord, heal me fast so I can call up this contract and let him know I'm ready to go. Because he gets a lot of work. He passed a lot of work my way. And if I let him know, when I let him know that he called me when I was in the hospital, I wasn't ready to go. I said, man, I'm in the hospital. He said, oh, I'm sorry, man. I just had some work for you. I let him know, you know. Paul says, I hope to see you in passing through Rome as I go on my intended trip to Spain, and to be aided on my journey there by you after I have enjoyed your company for a little while. To present, however I am going, to Jerusalem to bring relief for the saints, God's people there. For it has been the good pleasure of Macedonia and Achaia to make some contributions for the poor among the saints of Jerusalem. People gave. Some of the saints at Macedonia and Achaia gave to Paul. They gave substance to Paul. We don't know if it's money or just corn and wheat and so wine and stuff to take to them. But they gave so that the man of God not only going to go and preach the gospel, but while he's there, he can give to the poor. This is what we do. It says they make contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it. And surely they are in debt to them. For if these Gentiles have come to share in the Jerusalem Jews' spiritual blessings, then they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. Now you see the Gentiles sending gifts to Jerusalem, to God's people. Hallelujah. We get envelopes sometimes comes. We get the stuff come from different organizations all over the world. You know, and if it's not about $50, $20, $100, we put something in the envelope and send back. The Good Samaritan. We do. Why? We're not boasting. We boast in Christ. Because all that we have because of Christ. He's the one that blesses us. He's the one that touches the hearts of people to sow into our lives so that we can sow into other people's lives. Listen to what he said. This is so powerful, man. I'm telling you. He talked about the Gentiles giving to help the Jews, the poor Jews. He said, when therefore I have completed this mission and have delivered to them at Jerusalem what have been raised, I shall go on by way of you to Spain. See, Paul, that's what the people give Paul to give to Jerusalem, to the Jews, to the poor Jews. He said, but he's not stopping there. He's going to continue to go on to share the gospel. We're not stopping. Hallelujah. We may get tired and we may get weary, but we're not stopping. Sometimes I know you feel like just staying in the bed just like I do. But you got to get up and you got to go. Got to do what needs to go. You can't just wait on the pastor. Well, I go into church. I got to wait to get to the building and hear what my bishop going to deliver today, what the pastor going to do. No. When you in your spare time, that's why, Apostle, we always say, bring a notebook and write down scriptures so you can look at the scriptures for yourself and hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, because he must speak from the same scriptures. So when you get to this place or that place, I want you to go in there and share with the people that's already worked there. I got people waiting places to hear from you. You see them there, you don't know they're waiting. He said, can I just talk to you? I want to tell you about a friend. It's simple. I want to tell you about a friend of mine. And they might get interested and they want to hear. His name is Jesus. Tell you that he loved you so much that he died on a rugged cross. He gave his life for you. You may not know him as Lord and Savior, but let me just introduce him to you. And you start to talk to him. Find a way how to do. The Holy Spirit will give you a way. He said, and I know what when I do come to you, I shall come in the abundant blessing of the gospel of Christ. See, I'm traveling in this thing. This is the thing that I'm moving in the Word. The Word is what I'm rich in. It's what I'm concerned. He said, I appeal to you. I entreat you, I beg you, brethren, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love given by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to unite with me, earnest wrestling in prayer to God in my behalf. And Minister Jones said that in the morning there, the people on the prayer line be interceding for my life. I want to tell you, I'll be praying for you all too, interceding for you all. Pastor Stewart Ministry, Pastor Joyce Ministry, I'll be interceding for you all. I pray for Mark and Robert. Come on here, that's blind. Did he just see a little gloom? Charles, I think his name. Pray for Apostle Washington Bishop, even though they're not here, but they're here in spirit. Because the enemy came and brought division. But they're still here in spirit. You still got to pray for them. Because Peter is standing right there with Jesus. What Jesus says, Peter, Satan desired to sift you like wheat. He's right there with the master. He's right there with the rabbi. And Satan want to take him out. Don't you know that he wants to take each and every one of us out? He wants to stop us any way he can from fellowshipping. You may not see it, but I see it. He will be grateful if I shut down Blog Talk Radio and say, look, you know what? I'm sick and tired of Blog Talk Radio, people. I don't want to. I'm just saying this is just a thing. That's not how I feel. But if I say this in my spirit, if this happens, if Satan can get me to do this, them demons would have a party in hell. They would have a party in hell because many people are getting saved all over the world through this Blog Talk Radio. People have ministries, started ministries all over the world because of this Blog Talk Radio. A satellite system, a satellite church system. People have started ministries preaching the gospel through this ministry. And Deborah's a lad, think he can get me to do some stuff. Listen. Paul said he wants you to be wrestling because he know that. What? He said, earnest. I like this version of this text right here. You know, because we wrestle sometimes. Most of us, I know I do, wrestle to want to pray, wrestle to want to study the word of God. Paul says he wants you. The earnest wrestling in prayer to God in my behalf, on his behalf. The King James Version make it simple. He says, and that is verses, glory to God, hallelujah, 30. And he says, glory to God, go over here. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayer for God, to God for me. Now, that is very open right there. But here when you come to the Amplified, this is so deep right here. And letting you know that sometimes you don't want to pray, not even for yourself. But he said, Russell, force yourself. That's what he's saying. Force yourself. Push yourself to where you don't feel like praying, just pray and remember me in the prayer. On my behalf, prayer that I may be delivered, rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my mission of relief to Jerusalem may be acceptable and graciously received by the saints, God's people there. You know, sometimes even you're trying to get some people that claim themselves to be holy or saved, righteous, they reject the gift. They reject the gift. That's what Paul is saying here. He said, pray that them people would receive. They will receive these gifts that are coming from unbelievers. Listen. Pray that I may be delivered, rescued from the unbelievers in Judea. The unbelievers going to come against the man of God. The unbelievers going to come against you because you're preaching the gospel. You're looking to have the believers that they need. And the unbelievers going to come against you. The Gentiles are sending. These new believers are sending. They're sending fruit, substances that they contribute to the saints at Jerusalem. but there are going to be people always want to hinder. I look at the TV and see that we are dropping millions and millions of dollars of food from the ear to the people in Gaza for the poor people. And Hamas is stealing all the food, even killing some of the poor people that are trying to pick up some of the food, and we're still sending food. We ought to make a way where we can take the food in. We're powerful enough as a nation. We should be able to take in, drive into them places, come out the plane with them Humvees, bulletproof Humvees, and take the food in ourselves. We're wasting the taxpayers' money. We are just feeding Hamas. Paul says, so that by God's will, I may subsequently come to you with joy, with a happy heart, and be refreshed by the interval of rest in your company. May all peace given God be with you all. Amen. And so be it. Whew, glory to God. This the Lord gave me on Saturday. He gave me this word on Saturday. Living to please others, in that you please Jesus. When we live to please others in the same way, we are pleasing God. Jesus pleased the Father when he left his home in glory, leave the throne room and came into this earthly realm to be abused, to be cussed out, to be spit upon, to be kicked, called names that's not written down in the book. For your sake and my sake, he went to that rugged cross. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for waking me up and blessing me and blessing us with the gift of life, God. Lord, we always come in with the voice of repentance, O God. We ask your forgiveness of every thought early this morning. And we ask your forgiveness of the thoughts that may come in during this day. We ask, Father God, that you lead us and guide us through all this day. Father, I speak into the atmosphere for First Lady DeRosa, her sister, have cancer and kidney problems. Lord, we know that you are the healer. You are the deliverer. And Lord, we speak that she shall not die but live to declare the works of the Lord. Father, we send the healing word into the atmosphere. And we ask that the angel of healing take the prayer into her body and begin healing to manifest. Father, give her strength in her body. Lord, as she stand up, Lord God, she shall not fall. Lord, we pray for those that are suffering with all types of sickness in their bodies, all types of infirmities, Lord, we come against right now in the name of Jesus, especially those that are suffering with cancer, Lord. Lord, we pray for marriages today. So many marriages are dissolving. People have given up. The very people that say, I do, say, I won't. The ones that say, I will, say, I won't. But I pray today in the name of Jesus that you will begin to touch marriages, even those that are going now to the courthouse to get a letter of divorcement. Lord, we ask, oh God, as they get to their destination to take that to the spouse, to have the spouse sign to make it complete. Lord, let them just tear that written letter of divorcement. Let them tear it up and say, no, I no longer want to be divorced. Let us try with the help of Lord Jesus Christ to make our marriage work. Father, we pray today for every minister of the gospel, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, the ministers, oh God, the elders, we pray for the deacons, the bishops, the ushers at the front door, at the gates of God's house. We pray for them. We pray, oh Father God, that you strengthen them, oh God. And Lord, help them to see the enemy before the enemy see them. Because we know that the enemy desires to sift us like wheat, oh God. He came to kill, steal, and to destroy, but Jesus came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. Lord, we have the enemy coming into the house of worship and stabbing the pastors, shooting the pastors, and maiming the pastors. Lord, we pray, Father God, that you open the eyes of the pastors, spiritual eyes, Lord, that they might see before any crime take place in the house of the Lord. We pray, Father God, for our sons and daughters, that you give them strength, O God, to cling to that which is right. And Father, we pray for the teachers and for the students, Lord, that the students submit to the teaching of the teachers, O God. Somebody told me that how this little girl was just cussing the teacher out and told the teacher, you're not going MF this caused me to do anything. I do what I want. She's just about 13 years old. And the teacher said she was so afraid of this little girl. And then the mother tell the teacher, you can't tell her what to do. She going to do what she wants to do. You know, because the parents don't strap the kids anymore. If I had come home when I was a young man and go and tell my mama, or they call up my mama, tell my mama that I've spoken to the teacher in that manner, I wouldn't be able to sit down on my behind. She would have wore my behind out. But today you say that, and the parents want to fight the teachers. You wonder why we have so much kids that are so violent, you know. Well, we just pray that God would touch into our schools and begin to touch the kids, into the homes of single parents, touch the kids. Some people are single men with the kids, women with the kids. They don't have a man to help, don't have a woman to help. Kids are just doing their own thing. But we pray today, God, that you would intervene and you'll be the father, you'll be the mother to those kids, and that you will help them to see what is righteous and what is right. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to give you an opportunity to receive him. I'm going to read from my notes here. Now I'll get this thing. And here, we want you to have this opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Very important that you repent. And the Bible says that let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this just means repentance. It's a small word, but it just means to turn away from the life you was living. However you've been living that's contrary to God's word, you need to leave behind. Let go of it and let God. We say let go and let God. You know, just let go. Your soul is immortal. It will never die. But as it separates from your body, there are two possible destinations for it. Heaven, eternity with God, everlasting happiness, or eternity without God, everlasting suffering. There's only one person in this world with the ability to choose where you are going to live eternally. You may say the person is God, but God says in his word, the Bible, that that person is you. Only you can choose or determine the eternal destination of your soul. You may, if you wish, choose heaven now. But if you think you can leave this matter for another time, the choice of eternity without God will have been chosen for you if you die right now. That is where you will go forevermore. If you do not die now, you will be still walking towards eternity without God. Certainly, you would prefer to go to heaven, and to be sure that you will enjoy heaven, this is what you must do. Number one, you must recognize that you are a sinner. God says in his word, the Bible, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Number two, you must recognize that you cannot go to heaven by your own efforts. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. See, you can't buy yourself your way into heaven. You can give tithes, pay offering, and that you should do, because the Bible required that. You have people preaching, saying now that we're not supposed to give tithes anymore because we are under grace and we are in a new dispensation. But they can't tell me any place in the Bible, anywhere in the Bible where the Bible says you should not pay tithes. Anywhere in the New Testament where it says you should not give tithes anymore. They can't show me because it's not in there. But some men have come up and they're fighting with that. They don't want people to give tithes, you know, but they still they want you to get in a $1,000 line, in a $500 line, a $100 line, $200 line. And they say, hey, will you, I'm going to lay hands on you and I'm going to give you a word from the Lord. You got $200, $500. You know they got these lines. You got a prophet Karen now has a thing now. You can have a prayer. You can have a word for $24. You know, all these gimmicks these people are doing, that's not in the Bible. But when it comes to giving tithes and offerings, they tell you that you shouldn't give tithes and give offerings because the dispensation that we're living in, you don't pay tithes beyond the grace. Well, how the pastor going to pay for the light? You go in there and find that nice, you go to Apostle Stewart, he got beautiful bathrooms in that church. I mean, nice, clean bathrooms. And they keep them clean and smelling good. How do you think they're going to keep the bathroom smelling good? They got to buy the stuff that they spray in the bathroom, and they keep in the bathroom on the wall that keeps the bathroom smelling good. They got to have the different detergents that they use for cleaning the toilets and the floor and all that stuff. Man, people, they talk that stuff. But yes, still they got a $500 line and $1,000 line. We need to buy and they got a $2,000 line and all this stuff, you know. But they don't want you to give tithes and offering, I tell you. Number three, you must believe that Jesus Christ can take you to heaven. Jesus say in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus did not say He was one of the ways, but he was the way. He is the way. You must come through Jesus. If you come in any other way, you are a thief and a robber. He says so in John chapter 10. If you try to get in any other way, you are a thief and a robber. Number four, you must accept Jesus Christ as your only Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. If you're out there in computer land, Acts 16 and 34, 31. You must believe on Jesus Christ. You must make him your Savior. You must repent of your sins and invite Jesus into your heart as Lord to take up rightful position in your heart as the leader, as the shepherd of your soul. You must invite him in. And then you must follow him. You must follow his instructions. You must follow his leading. As the shepherd, and you must obey his instructions. Don't just hear the instructions. James said, "Don't be just hearers of the word, but become doers of the word." He says, "You must accept Jesus Christ as your only Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." Hallelujah. Some may say, "I'm still young, and I can leave this matter for later." I would like to say two things to you. Number one, you do not need to be old to be near eternity or near death. Number two, the prophecies of the Bible says that Jesus will return again, and these prophecies are being fulfilled in our days. How will your life be on that day, judgment day? Think about it, because the only way to reach this blessing is through Jesus. Jesus says in Revelation 22:7, "Behold, I am coming quickly." He didn't say I was coming quick. He said, "I'm coming quickly." And quickly simply means he's coming quicker than quick. Before you can wink your eye, snap your finger, he's going to be here. If you decide not to choose heaven, know that you are walking towards eternity without God, under God's wrath. He who does not believe the Son, Jesus, the wrath of God abides on him. John 3:36b. The Bible says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, John 3:16. And the Bible also said, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, John 3:17. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil, John 3:19. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only way to salvation. You can try to come in anywhere, to try to use all the stuff. You see all of these millionaires that say there was many ways to God. They're catching hell right now. Oprah Winfrey is going through all type of stuff. She's a billionaire and catching hell because she come up against Jesus. You know, she come up against Jesus saying she's a believer, but she believe in many gods. Many gods, the God of the dark side and all this stuff, she believe in. And you can't believe in Jesus and believe in the God of the dark side. I'm telling you this because they want to be rich. They want to be super rich, have all the stuff that they can't take with them. You understand? That's their main objective. But I'm telling you today, Jesus is the way and the truth, and he is the life. No one come to the Father except through him. They may tell you all type of stuff. And people listen to them because they're rich. And they drive around this and they live this. They have all the necessities of this world, but they don't have the necessity of the world to come. They don't have Jesus. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18 says, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. It shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is the word of God. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take a minute. Take a minute to examine your own heart, your mind, your soul. You know whether if you really know Jesus or if you know of him. You may be a part of a church, but you really don't know him as your Savior. You know of him. You get excited when they call his name, but you don't have a relationship with him. How do you know that you have a relationship? Apostle, I'm glad you asked that question. This is how you know you have a relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when you become obedient to his word. When you're obedient to his sayings, what he say, what he say to do and not to do, you're obedient. That's how you know. That's how you know that you know him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if you don't know him today, take this time to denounce Satan and all of his agents and the world system. In other words, you're taking time to turn away. And then I want you to invite Jesus. Invite Jesus into your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge my sin before you. And I realize that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe in the finished work of the cross. And Lord, I confess with my mouth that which I believe in my heart, that you were crucified and that you died on that cross and that God raised you on the third day. I believe this in my heart and I'm confessing with my mouth. And the scripture said, whosoever believe in him shall not be ashamed. So I believe, Lord, and I'm not ashamed. Now I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. Enter. Pastor says he's knocking at the door. He's knocking. He's not just tapping, but he's knocking. It's different to when you're tapping. Tapping with the tip of your fingers. But when you're knocking with your knuckles on your wrists. You're knocking. Knocking. He's knocking on the door because he wants you to hear that he is at the door. He said, anyone hear my voice and answer shall come in and sup with him and him with me. Jesus want to come into your heart. Ask Jesus now as he knocks. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Take up your rightful position in my heart, on the throne of my heart, as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. I accept you now, Jesus, as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. Do whatsoever you choose to do with me, Lord. Lead me and guide me into all truth. If you said that on common prayer and you believe what you said with your mouth, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. See, you got to study the Word of God. Not just what you say, but it's what you do. No, you got to start walking. As you study the Word of God, you got to start walking in what the Word requires you to do. How the Word requires you to believe in Christ Jesus. Believe in the finished work of the cross. Believe that Jesus is coming back again for you, for the church. You are part of the church now. Now live as part of the church, obedient to the Word of God. And He will lead you. Even when times that you feel like you want to go around, He will tell you. He will check you. That's what He does. He will check you as He checks me from time to time. Even when thoughts come into your mind that you want to waver and talk, think different, He'll cause you to cast down those thoughts and those imaginations. That's what He does. Now I want you to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize in Jesus' name and tell them that you received the gift of salvation. You're studying the Word and you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. But before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies, because you want a cloud of witnesses. Somebody there that's in the service to I hear the pastor ministering to you about baptism. Might say, "Hey, look, my heart is touched. I want to be baptized." The pastor might not baptize him. Then we say, "Look, we want you to come to the class, and we're going to teach you the reason of baptism." But sometimes you may just have to go bypass the classes and just baptize them right now. You know, lead them in the prayer of salvation, accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior right there and baptize them right there. Because you don't know if they're going to make it. You hear possibly talking about somebody that he didn't baptize was waiting on the class. You know, you don't know if that may be the last day after they get baptized. So just baptize them. And as you come up out that water we call the liquid grave, my friend, you're leaving all the stuff that held you captivity in that water. And Jesus is going down with you too. He's not leaving you. He's going down with you. And you come back up with Jesus. Excited. Because you have sensed that the Holy Spirit has come into your heart. You're running, you're jumping, you're screaming, you may be rolling on the floor. However He chooses to do with you. And when you settle down, find your church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved in ministry. Don't become a spectator. So many people could be, you know, all the churches could be filled to running over if everybody in the church facility in the church building would go out, leave after they hear the sermon, and tell somebody, even when they go to all you can eat, because a lot of times they go to all you can eat, you know, go to the seafood place, or go to the Chinese place, they go out to fellowship. Man, just don't talk to the people at the table about Jesus. Talk to the other people. Say, "Hey, man, reach out and touch somebody with the Word of God. If somebody get mad, say, "Well, I'm sorry, I just want to tell you about my friend. I don't mean you no harm." You know, if everybody shared Jesus, the church would fill. But today what the people do, they come, they hear a word from the apostle, from the bishop, from the evangelist, from the teacher. And they go home and say, "Man, pastor preached real good yesterday. Man, it was just a powerful word. I can't wait till next Sunday." And they keep getting word, but they're not using any of the word. I'm telling you, utilize the word that you hear. Thank God for everyone that heard the word today. And I pray that this word resonated in your heart, that you just utilize it, activate it, you know, activate the word in your life that somebody might see it and glorify Father. Thank you. I'm finished. God bless you. I'm finished. The line is now open.
Hey, God bless you. Apostle, I'm on low on the truck, so excuse me. I just want to pray with you.
Bless you.
Real quick again, I'm going to get back to work. I'm on low on the truck, so excuse the noise. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, that I can pray for the man of God. We lift him up today, God. God, you heard his request earlier. God, you able to do a seat above all we ask and think according to your power that was within us. And so, Lord, we pray for the man of God, Lord, that he move by your spirit, by your power, Lord, within the chest cavity, down to his bone, Lord, to the marrow of his bone. And God, we ask you, Lord, to let your Holy Spirit rest upon him. God, strengthen him with your power. God, as you did the woman to issue your blood, God, we ask you, God, right now in the name of Jesus, that you manifest your power right now in his bone, God. You don't know what to do. You have all power. All power is in your hand, Lord. And we trust you, Lord, today, God. Lord, give the man of God the strength he needs. Bless his family, Lord. Bless every Man, the woman God on this line, that Lord, we can walk in your call and do your will in the name of Jesus. And God, I forever bless your name and give your name the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, thank God for the word. I was trying to get back on here Saturday, and I was kind of busy. By the time I got on, y'all closed up so fast. I said, Lord, have mercy. And I'm always busy all the time trying to learn my music. I got me a lead guitar. I'm trying to learn Apostle. And I've been trying to study that, study my word, too. And it's just been overwhelming with a lot of stuff. But I'm trying to, you know, learn to do, operate my gifts, you know. And so that's what I've been doing. But I thank God for the word. Everything you said is so powerful and right on time. I tell you, oh, man, if we never needed each other, we need each other now, you know. I tell you, I will tell people all the time, I'm not your enemy, man. Don't be feel threatened by me, you know, in the Bible says that sometimes you have that when you're in a church and you come in and, you know, I will tell pastors all the time, don't ask God for help if you can't accept what he's saying. You have people come in, they come in to help the ministry, and people are running them away because they think you're trying to take their spot or they think that you're going to get more attention from the leader than they are. And not looking at you part of the body. You know, you might be the eye. I might be the ear. You might be the heart. I might be the brain. But see, all works together and the body together. And I'm not your enemy. You're not mine. Our enemy is the devil himself. And he don't care. He's going to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came that we may have life and life more abundantly. And that's just my prayer that, you know, God continue to help us in the body so we can continue doing the work, because it's hard to do the work when we at each other's head and you feel threatened or jealousy over your own brother. And I've been dealing with that myself, you know, go to church and have other ministers have envy against you. Like, bro, I'm not the enemy. You know, I'm not trying to outdo anybody, you know. And then sometimes just because a person have more gifts than others, that don't make you less. You know, God, just some people just got the gifts, you know, and so we got to know that we are brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, and we're here to help each other. That way we can be an example to the world. And you told us, disciples, to make sure you love one another. And then the world will know that you are my disciples, and you don't have to keep love anymore like you see in the body of Christ, because a lot of people motivating right, you know. They in it for the wrong reason. They're not in it because they want to win souls. They're trying to make a name for themselves. And there's so much going on in. You just have to continue praying. Like you were saying, the church do need help, man. So many ministers need help now because people don't give like they used to, because a lot of people are disappointed because they've seen a lot of these mega preachers made such a mockery of the church with money that people don't feel like you have to give to the church anymore. Like I tell people all the time, when I'm out witnessing, I am say that. But, man, the church only don't want your money. I say, well, the club wants your money. When you go to the script club, don't they take your money? Don't they have an ATM in it? In the strip club, they got to have the lights for the women to get up there and dance. So you don't say that when you go up to the bar, then you're going to get your liquor. You know, so the church got to have finances to be able to function. Every pastor ain't doing wrong in the church. You know, you got some pastors, and the enemy put them up. Every pastor that's out there, God did put them up. Some of the people the devil hired to make them a hot mess so people won't come to God. And they can point at the church and say, it ain't no real people, God. All they want is your money. They don't care about you. And that's what the enemy did. And so we got to know the difference. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. And as you said earlier, you have to be baptized of the Spirit. You need God's Spirit to know the difference, especially in this hour where so many people are being deceived. And being deceived, they don't know the truth from the light. They don't know. Everybody ain't the church. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of churches, but everybody ain't the church. And so you got to know the difference. And how you know the difference? You need the Holy Spirit. And you have to be born again. So God bless you. I love you, Apostle. I pray that you feel better, and I'm praying that God make a way that we can all come together and continue to do more for the kingdom. But my prayers and that God, that his blood cover you and your family and all the apostles and men and women, God, that's on here. I love each and every one of y'all, and y'all continue praying for me and prophets and my family. And we pray for each other that we continue to finish doing the will of God. God bless you.
We always let God continue to stay at Hope David, that big old truck driving over there. I used to drive one of them big trucks too. early 70s. Then Chuck Marty had to get away from it because I had got into something else. I got into cooking in the restaurant, bartending. So I pray for you, your protection when you're out there. And you're going and when you're coming, we just thank God for you and for your born child. And I thank you for praying for me. Prayer is good. All of us need prayer. Prayer. Every single one of us needs prayer. More prayer, more power. No prayer, no power. More prayer. The more you pray, the more power you're going to get. You can't see it, you know, but it's there. When you need it, you'll see it because you'll activate, but move, God will move. So we thank God for you. A lot going on. I'm healing well. I won't tell nobody any lie. My body's healing well. Even the surgeon said they haven't seen anybody heal as fast as I'm healing. How well my skin has come together. I never experienced this before, but one pain that I have now, it comes and goes. Like I got going all day long. I don't feel nothing. Then tonight, I'm getting ready to go to sleep. That thing like it comes like a demon. So I've been rebuking some forces because even in my prayer time, God has shown me something. Don't want me to be here. Huh? They are witches and warlocks, not part of the body. These are folk that just envy and jealous. And I'm praying against the arrows. Even yesterday in the church, I had to minister to some people. As I was there, the Lord began to show me spiritual arrows, satanic arrows. And I realized that they're not only for the people that were there, they were at me too. Also, I had to pray against them. When you giving your life completely to Christ Jesus, you don't have to go and do nothing. People that you may not even know want you to die. You know, they make dolls with your and put your name on the dolls and stick in the dolls with pins and stuff, voodoo dolls and stuff. They don't know you, but they're working for the devil, and the devil using them to try to drive pain in your body, drive sickness on your body, because sickness don't come from heaven. It knows that. And God told us in the word, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in good health. Be in health even as your soul prospers. So sickness don't come from heaven. And we say, well, God, this land is coming. No, God did not put it on you. Don't put that on God. Sickness don't come from heaven. It comes from hell. So we got to send it back where it came from. And so I just tell the Lord, I thank you for the pain. Because the pain that I have in my body is drawing me closer and closer to you. Closer and closer to you. I had a good sleep last night, you know, when I had to get up. And I took 2 NyQuil. I told you all, I got a lot of medicine. I don't have to leave the house. I got a lot of stuff here. And the NyQuil is so strong, once it kick in, I tell you, once it kick in, it will knock you out. And it took a long time for the time I telling some. Two of them NyQuil. Took a while before they kicked. When they kicking. I was sleeping good this morning. You know what I'm saying? I was sleeping good. Now she's saying, you're going to get up and get blocked up. It was after 12 o'clock. I was still sleeping because that's the pills were just kicking about that early. Late, I guess. And I was just in that. But I thank God. You know, I'm still pushing through. I'm pushing through because, you know, the more I push through, the more he gave me revelation. More he gave me revelation. More you seek him, more he going to. I think as Jeremiah said, if you seek him early, you will find him. Early is any time. It don't mean 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, or 1 o'clock in the morning. If any time you seek him is early. Seek him early, you will find him. Why? Because he's right there. Right there for meeting for anyone who really needs him. Find him. I want him in my life. Come in and give me like the Bible says, dead at hunger and thirsty. I want more. I want more of my. line is open. You know, a lot of people on the line, Apostle Scorter. Quite a lot of people. A lot of people are coming in now from Louisiana. But I guess I can say they're enjoying the word, but they're not saying anything. So we're going to pray and close out. Because I've done my part. That is the word of God. So we're going to pray. Father, we ask that now, Lord, that the word has gone forth, Lord. And we pray that the ground that we send it out in today, the ground all over the world, people are going to hear this today, Lord. I pray that you open the intellect that, oh God, is not from me, but from me. Lord, that they begin to love on others, unconditional love. I'm not talking about a sexual way. I'm talking about a godly love, agape love, that they begin to love on each other, Lord. Care for each other, that we be not like the Levite and the priest, that we look on the person in need and just turn away from them. Lord, but we'll be your hands, we'll be your eyes and your mouthpiece here in this. We pray, Father God, that you continue to strengthen each and every one of us in the areas of our life that we are weak and the areas that we are strong, Lord. We pray that you make us stronger. Oh, Father, we ask you to touch our wives, touch our husbands, touch our children, touch our grandparents and parents. God, touch everyone close to us, and even those that walked away from us without a cause, Lord, we ask you to touch them, oh God. Touch, oh God, this day and bring deliverance, bring restoration, oh God. We ask, Father God, that you continue to watch over the Blog Talk family, Lord God. We pray, Father God, that you touch Brother Mark, oh God. We pray, Lord God, you touch Brother Robert. Lord, you touch Brother Deacon Fraser. You touch Pastor Stewart, oh God, and Pastor Joyce Stewart. Touch him. Minister Jones, Lord, we pray for Evangelist Campbell, and we pray for Evangelist Sheila, we pray for Prophetess Jackie, Lord, we pray that she get a job soon, quicker than quick and faster than fast, oh God, that she can pay her bills, that she don't become homeless. We pray, Father, today for her children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren. We pray for Minister Andrea Batmos, oh God, and for her husband, for her daughter, for her mother, oh God, for her stepfather, for her brother, for her niece and nephew. Lord, we are praying for Pastor Falkland. He's got a funny Nigerian name. But Lord, we pray for him. Lord God, a powerful, anointed man of God, a great teacher of gospel. We pray, Father God, for his wife, for his children, for his ministry. We pray, Father God, that you continue to, oh God, add to all the ministries, oh God. And for those that are compromising the word, God, we ask you to remove them. Lord God, if they don't want to repent, oh God, and turn to their first love, we ask you, oh God, to remove their candlestick according to Revelation. Oh God, we pray today in the name of Jesus that every believer, oh God, would take a stand for righteousness, for holiness, and that they begin to go out and tell somebody about the wonderful work that has been done at the cross, oh God. We pray right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you begin to touch our finances, oh God. Lord, touch where we are lacking, oh God. Lord God, that we will have more than enough to give, oh God. Lord, there's so many that are waiting on us, but we don't have what they need yet. But Lord, Father God, we ask, oh God, that you heal us. Heal us that we'll be able to go back out into the workforce, oh God. Lord God, and do what we can do by the talents that you have given us. But Lord, don't let us go back out before our time and get hurt and be worse than we are, Lord. We ask, God, that you heal us. Heal us completely from the inside out, oh God. And give us the wisdom to know when to go. Pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for every little boy, every little girl that has been kidnapped. Oh, God, we pray for the sex traffickers. They arrested 230 sex traffickers in Florida. 230 men and women that's been kidnapping people, men and women, boys and girls, and just moving them from state to state. Even some of them were shipped out of this country, oh God, for the sex trade. We pray, God, for those that they've been arrested, that either they get treatment or they be locked in prison for life, God, that they will not be able to hurt anybody else. Oh, we pray today in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you bless us in the city, bless us when we come and bless us when we go. God, we're praying that right now that you make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath. God, that you make us the lenders and not the borrowers. Father, we are praying for the finances to come in. We are praying for blessings to come in so that, God, we can help the widows. We can help the fatherless. We can help the homeless. And, God, we can help, oh, God, the orphans. Lord, we are praying today, Lord God, for the funds to be released, oh, God, so we can be your handpiece right here, your hand here on earth. Because, yes, Lord, we are your mouthpiece. Lord, we also want to be your hand. We want to be able to give to them. Paul got from other believers, young believers in the Lord. And he took it to Jerusalem to give to all believers, oh God, in God. And he gave to them. Lord, we pray, Father God, that you make a way that we'll have more than enough to give, Lord. And as you do this, Lord, pray for Nancy. Lord, we pray that you bless her, that she's safe and secure, Lord. Pray for Samara. Pray for Annette. Oh, pray for Alicia. Pray for Benjamin. Pray for Simone. And pray for Rebecca. Pray for Tremaine and Rico. Pray for all of my grandkids and great-grandkids, Lord God. Pray for Jessica, my daughter-in-law, God. We just pray right now, God, that you move upon their hearts. They have different beliefs, but, Lord, we know that you're able to in the heart of the king. You control the heart of the king. You can control the heart of my grandkids and kids, Lord God. We pray today in the name of Jesus. Keep protect Benjamin while he's living in Richmond, Virginia now. With nice home with his wife and daughter, Lord. We pray a nice job he got. Lord, we pray that you strengthen him, oh God, and keep him, oh Lord, that he don't be led astray, God, by this word, Lord. And Father, as you do that, we give you all the glory and honor. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Remember, oh God, watch over the prophetess Cheryl Kersey, oh God. Watch over all her children and grandchildren. God's God to her daughter. Lord, I heard it just now, Lord, that her daughter, whatever infirmity she's dealing with, God, you are stronger, you are bigger, you are greater than the infirmity. We ask you, God, to make her ever which whole, oh God, by your spirit, oh God. Word declared, not by power, not by might, by my spirit, Lord. Pray today, Lord. Oh God, the apostles should have some people ministry outside the ministry. Pray for healing too, Lord. Lord, we send up a healing prayer. Healing prayer must go through the prayer, Lord. And touch everyone that's connected to us, Lord. We ask for healing, deliverance, restoration. Oh God, we pray for the marriages, oh God, that are about to be broken up, Lord. Facing our destruction, Lord, we pray, oh God, to release the glue, Lord. Oh God, and pull them back together. Father, we pray, God, as we this line, this spiritual line, but never your presence, Lord. Your grace will call for us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. Dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is faith. Maybe the word that you said in somebody's ear gate that would make all the difference. Like said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they would put works in by the Father. And that all that means is that light that Jesus is that's in us now, in us. It must be seen in us that when people look at us, that they're not seeing a vagabond. They're not seeing some wayward child, a wayward person, but they're seeing a child of God, one who is walking, who is living, who is talking, who is being the child of God, the one that he called out of darkness into a marvelous light, in this light in us, to us. So that's all God will ask. Ask this. God bless you all. I love you. But God loves you even more. He loves you. Have a blessed, safe day. Whatever you're doing, let Jesus be part of whatever you're doing. On your job, if you're eating, let him be the chief. If you're drinking, let him be the chief. If you're talking to somebody, let him be the center. Whatever you do. That's all I'm saying. Let Jesus. God bless you. And I pray that the rest of your day is good of the beginning of even better than. We will be here tomorrow. The Lord give us a word. We didn't get it yet. We get a word from the Lord. We get to Paris and all over the world. Bye-bye. Hello? What time you gonna put the chicken in the oven? I said what time? I gotta put some stuff over the chicken. All right, I'll make it about 3:30, okay? Cold up there, though. Got a bright light shining. Meadow! Meadow! You're a pretty dog, you know. Look at your tail knocking on that chair. Want to go inside with me? Come on. Come on. Want to get up on the bed? Come on. Come on up. Come on. You don't want to come up? Well, go there. One minute.